A collaboration of international minds, including experts in Saskatchewan, have created the most advanced snow modeling in the world. Dr. John Pomeroy is a professor in the University of Saskatchewan Department of Geography and Planning and the Canada Research Chair in Water Resources and Climate Change. And CJWW News talked to him recently about predicting mountain snowpack.
I would say this is probably pretty groundbreaking for your purposes and your, you know, your area of expertise. Would you consider it groundbreaking? It sounds like it's one of kind, first of its ever known in the world.
It's certainly the most advanced mountain snow model in the world. And it's something we feel is very important for Saskatchewan and for Western Canada. You know, the South Saskatchewan River, 99% of the flow in that river comes from Alberta. And the lion's share of that is coming out of the mountain snowpack. And so the getting better predictions on that can help us better predict the water availability for irrigation and the chances of flooding and water supply for various uses for the city and for potash mines and other uses we have in Saskatchewan, as well as, of course, for Alberta and the west side of the Rockies going into British Columbia and then the Columbia River down into the Pacific Northwestern U.S.
Now, it says that you're using a supercomputer. Do we have supercomputers at the university?
Yes, we do. One that we use is Compute Canada, and the university is part of a partnership called Compute Canada that gives us access to a national-scale supercomputer. But we also have one at the university that we've built for this purpose called Copernicus. And this is a tremendous machine that the Global Institute for Water Security and the Global Institute for Food Security share. And we do some runs on there as well. And that's a very, very fast computer.
So is it like almost like an algorithm that you have to utilize, or is it just inputting data?
Yeah. So the models data is run using Environment Canada's weather forecast models. And there's a high-resolution forecast model, and we'll take the temperature, the wind speed, the precipitation, humidity off that model and use it to drive our model. And our model is, it's hundreds of thousands of lines of computer code written in such a way to take advantage of supercomputer memory. And that computer code is something that we've been developing right back from the 1980s into the current time and advancing it. So initially the model could calculate blowing snow over the prairies. And we use that to look at the effectiveness of stubble in trapping snow on the prairies and the problems of summer fallow letting snow blow off the fields, and also the effectiveness of shelter belts. So that was the original purpose for some of these models. But now we've got it working in complex, steep mountain terrain. You know, if you imagine the Rockies behind Lake Louise, it's all steep slopes. So calculating the wind flow, the acceleration over the ridgetops and deceleration in the valleys is really difficult mathematically. And we've been able to solve that in here. And then we've added things like avalanching, which, of course, moves snow down the mountains very quickly. And that snow sits in big piles right into mid and late summer, so important for water supply. And then also the role of forests and the shading of mountains. Anyone who's been out to towns like Canmore, Banff in the winter, you know how dark they can be because they're shaded by the mountains. Anyway, that keeps the snow on the ground, slows down its melt, and so that's included in the model as well.
Yeah, I think the average individual wouldn't have a clue how much actually is incorporated into impacting snow melt and snowpack, and then having that translate into runoff. I suspect most of us don't understand the breadth of it. But I just thought it was incredible that you could take all these factors and plunk it into a computer. Obviously, it's a little more complicated than plunking it in a computer, but and then come up with such a sophisticated outlook. So it must feel like this has been a long process for you. You've been working on this. I mean, I can't remember how many times I've talked to you, and you are actually in the mountains doing snowpack measurements.
Yes. Yeah, we're taking the measurements so we can test models like this and improve our understanding and then come up with some equations and code that can go into the model. And so we're doing that, and we've been doing that in parallel with the model development. But this particular model came out of the PhD thesis of a U of S student named Chris Marsh. And, you know, Chris Marsh did his undergraduate and his master's and PhD here. And it was all building towards this model. And then we wanted to implement it over the Rockies, and that was turning out to be very difficult. And so we were able to bring in a visiting professor from the French Meteorological Snow Center in Grenoble, France. So he came here from Météo France, and that was Vincent Vionnet. and absolutely brilliant. We reckoned he was about the best snow scientist in Europe. So we brought him into Canada to help us with this and to implement it and figure out how to calculate the winds. And then we worked with others. Brian Menounos, a professor at University of Northern British Columbia, has a plane with a LIDAR unit on it. And LIDAR is a laser rangefinder. And so he flew the plane over these areas in the mountains so he could precisely measure the snow depth to test the model. And, you know, without that, we would never be sure it was working properly. So that was wonderful. And then we needed some more satellite information on the snow-covered area and to test that. And so that's where Simon Gascon from the Toulouse University in Toulouse, as part of the French government, the Centre de Studies Spatial de la Biosphere. And so that having that help from France really was required to pull this off. So it was, ended up being a multinational effort.
I was going to say it was already somewhat global in effort, but now it looks like it could be global in application.
Those are our intentions, yes. The careful design of the model to take advantage of parallel processing on supercomputers means that we can, what we call, scale it up. And so Chris Marsh has already shown he can run it over all of British Columbia, Alberta, and bits of Saskatchewan, and run it this through the winter. And so our next applications will be running it over Canada and then the world. And so we've been in discussions with UNESCO and the World Meteorological Organization, and they want to see revised global estimates of snow and ice. Of course, they're declining due to climate change around the world. And so a model like this can help us track that. And so that's where we're headed with it.
I love this line from the news release, which says, sometimes when you don't have the wealth, you are forced to be smarter. And that's essentially what's happened here, I guess, hey?
Yeah. I mean, that was in reference to in the U.S., NASA has flown LIDAR from planes over the Sierra Nevada to directly measure the snowpack, which is very nice and is brilliant technology. And it's actually something we tried in the Rockies back in 2007, and we showed we could do it, but it's also very expensive. And so when Brian Menounos flies his plane, you know, it's just a couple times a year because that's what we can afford. We can't do this every week like they do in California. So a model gives you outputs every hour, and then you don't need those very expensive measurements to estimate your mountain snowpack. And so that's what we think, you know, for Canadian applications, Canada is so large that there's just simply no chance we could ever fly at all with a Cessna and a laser every few weeks to get the snowpack. We're going to have to model it. And so that's the way forward for us, certainly.
Are you hoping that, like, you've already had some other nibbles, but you're definitely seeing this, like, are you going to sell the technology, John, or how does that work? Or is this just, you know, it's the benefit of the world, so you're just sharing it?
Yeah, we very much heard from our users in Global Water Futures. They want science in the public interest. And very much also, we've heard this from the World Meteorological Organization and from UNESCO. If we have the government funding to do it and run our models, we'll run them and make the data freely available. That way, the greatest number of people can use this. And we're already running a little test example. We call it Snowcast. And you can look up snowcast.ca on the web, and you can get a snow forecast, a very detailed snow forecast for the area west of Calgary into Banff National Park. And a lot of people already use that to sort of plan their activities out there. And it's also helpful to see how much snow melt might be coming down the Bow River headed for Saskatoon.
And have you extrapolated information for this year already and perhaps fed it to the WSA in order to do some of their runoff predictions?
We're often in discussions with WSA and Alberta Environment, and WSA is taking one of our models, Mesh, and starting to implement that as part of their flood forecasting system for the Saskatchewan River. So, and again, we gave it to them. That's the right thing to do. It was developed with public money. That's how we like to proceed with these things. One last thing. A model like this was called for at a World Meteorological Organization summit I co-chaired in 2019. It was called the High Mountain Summit, and 44 countries from around the world were there that have high mountains or receive their water supply from high mountains. And there was a strong indication of interest in having a product like this available. And so that, again, a great motivation for our development is that we know people need this in Asia, in India, China, Central Asia. They need it in the Andes. They even need it in the United States to estimate their water supply. And, you know, the snowpack in the mountains controls the wildfire season, and it controls the amount of water in our reservoirs. And of course, we're seeing the decline of snowpacks around the world and a shift to more rainfall regimes. So it's as we start to lose this resource, it's important to track it even more carefully.
That was Dr. John Pomeroy, Canada Research Chair in Water Resources and Climate Change. And I'm Venice Ferguson, CJWW News.